I'm a little disappointed that we only got the very short version of the story of Jonah tonight. And I would encourage all of you to consider, when you go home this evening, pull out the scriptures and read the entire story. It's a very short story. It's one of the shortest books in scripture. If I may, I'd like to create a context to kind of fill you in on the story. I'm sure you're already quite familiar with it, but the story that we heard this evening is really the middle of the story. It leaves out the beginning of the story, which is the first call that God makes to Jonah to preach his word. And in response to that first call, Jonah runs as fast as he can in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He tries to get away. In fleeing, he takes a ship to Tarshish, and during that boat ride, they run into a storm. To make a long story, or a short story even shorter, the crew of the boat throws Jonah overboard because they know Jonah is running away from God's call. So in order to calm the sea, they sacrifice Jonah back to the sea. Jonah is swallowed up by a large fish and eventually spewed out onto a beach, at which time God calls him for the second time. This time, Jonah listens to God. He follows the call, goes to Nineveh, and that's the story that we hear. This large city that takes 3 days to get through, Jonah goes in and on his first day manages to preach the message of God so effectively that everyone converts. Everyone repents by order of the king. Ironically, the last part of the story is where we see how upset Jonah is because he leaves Nineveh and sits at the top of the hill waiting to see God destroy Nineveh. And because God relents of his anger, it makes Jonah angry. This is one of the more unique prophetic stories in the scriptures for the very reason that it's not often that the prophetic word is fulfilled. More often than not, the people who hear God's prophetic word chase after the prophet, throw him out, or kill him. In this case, Jonah was completely effective. And the irony is, in his efficacy, he gets upset because he was looking to see God take out his wrath. The reason I think this story is so significant, particularly on this weekend, is because tomorrow, January 22nd, is the 23rd anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision in the United States. And I think since that time, that particular decision has had a particularly polarizing effect on our country. It's divided us in such a way where there are those who believe in piety, that the people who think that abortion should be safe and legal are sinners and should be destroyed. As Catholic Christians, it's important for us to understand the context of who God really is. I want you to hear me very, very carefully. God is pro-choice. Now, when I say that because God does not force us to make any decisions. God gives us the freedom to choose for ourselves. But God does not want us to choose death. That in itself is an irony. I'm kind of a political junkie. I spent the last week and a half watching the hearings for Judge Alito and listening to the talking heads. And I don't want to talk politics with you, but what I do want to mention is something that really hits deeply in my heart. And that is, whenever there's a discussion about pro-life or pro-choice. Too often, we're only getting the middle of the story. Very few people are willing to take the risk to enter into a dialogue to get the full story. And I think that's unfortunate. That is really our responsibility as Catholic Christians, is to try to understand, how is this God who is so caring and loving that he refuses to force us to love him back? What responsibility does that put on me and my response to God in relationship? It's a very challenging understanding of our humanity. And I think Paul speaks to the real value of our humanity, which is to live lives as husbands, as mothers, as teachers, as craftsmen, but not to get so connected to this life that we lose sight of all of the other important things that extend far beyond the passing of this world. I say that because I was just having a discussion with my friend, and in 1976, that's when the United States reinstituted the death penalty. I'm not sure we mark the anniversary of that. And I think it's grossly inconsistent that we can value life so that we choose to determine whose life is more valuable than someone else's. Again, God is pro-choice. But God desires that each and every one of us chooses life, chooses to value the gift of life that he has given us, and requests that we look at the value of life for what it really is. That is something that is passing, a temporary stay here on the planet, and an opportunity to recognize the life that Jesus Christ calls us to. And that is to follow him.